other big put down. He just said, well, you know, don't get all excited about that, folks. And he spoke up Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he that should betray him, being one of the 12. Then we come to the fall festival season of the Feast of Tabernacles in chapter 7. Okay, in chapter 7. And the main point that I want to emphasize with this, especially this one here, yes, is verse 24. Here again, where he's talking about the difference between the spiritual things and physical things. John 7 and verse 24, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. And that's what he was telling the Jews. Judge righteous judgment. Make a proper judgment in this situation. Then we come to the last part of chapter 7, where that he, on the last great day, verse 37, of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And that ties right in again with chapter 6 and verse 35. 6:35. Okay. And he that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. For this he spoke of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now then, we come to chapter 8. Chapter 8 is the real confrontation chapter. Okay? Here's the woman who was caught in adultery. And didn't Jesus give righteous judgment? Yes, he did. He said, well, where was, you know, who's guilty, who is not guilty of sin, cast the first stone. He didn't condemn the woman. He said, go and sin no more. Now notice verse 12. Verse 12. Here's another one of the I Ams, which we can label number 3. We want to number them. Then Jesus spoke again unto them, saying, let's just turn this one over here to John 8 and verse 12. Therefore Jesus said to them, saying, ego ime tophos. That means, I am the light of the world. Ego ime tophos tu kosmou. Okay. Don't get upset if I speak a little Greek. I'm working on my pronunciation too. And if it's all Greek to you, it is because it is. Okay. Cosmos means the world. He said, I am the light of the world, and he that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And that is to bring us through all the darkness of this world. So he is the light of the world. Now, verse 18, where they told him, he said, well, your judgment is not true. So verse 18, he says, I am the one who is bearing witness. Okay, he says, bearing witness concerning myself and concerning me whom the Father has sent. So I am the one who bears witness. Jesus is the one then who bears witness. That would be number 4. Now notice the next one, verse 23. Verse 23, and of course the Jews didn't like this. Let's just back up to verse 21. Then Jesus came again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and you shall die in your sins, and where I go, you cannot come. Now I think in the Greek that that is, yes, where I go away. Let's look at verse 21, if you have an interlinear, where he says, I go. Here you have the word ego, you separately. I go away, and you will seek me, and in your sins you will die. And where I go, you are not able to come. So here we see at this juncture where the word ego is used without ime. where I go. Now, let's continue, verse 22. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he said, where I go, you cannot come. And he said to them, you are from beneath. Verse 23, I am from above. And here it is ego. And then you go down 1, 2, 3. The fourth word is eme. It's split in that particular case if you see it in your interlinear. He said, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not. And there it is, ego uk ime, which I am not of this world. And that's why he had to be the Savior. So 5, he's from above. 6, he's not of this world. And then notice verse 24. I said therefore unto you, you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am. Now notice the emphasis of this, the 7th one, I am. And this goes right back to Exodus 3, where the very name of God was I am. And he was telling the Jews, unless you believe I am, you're going to die in your sins. In other words, you have no salvation. Very emphatic and profound statement. Okay, verse 28, he says the same thing. Then said Jesus to them, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am. Verse 28, then you shall know that I am. Ego e me. There it is, very clear again. And I do nothing of myself, but as I was taught of my Father, these things I speak. So then here comes the tremendous confrontation between the Jews, arguing about his birth, whether it was legitimate or not. And he said, you seek to kill me. He said, you're of your father the devil. And then when we come to verse 58, this really blew their minds, if you wanted a statement which would blow the Jews' mind. Let's just back up to verse 55. You have not known him, but I know him. That is Jesus speaking of the Father. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you, but I know him and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said unto him, why, you are not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham? Now notice his answer. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, or that is truly, truly, amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham was, ego eme, I am. So all the way through here in chapter 8, he said 1, 2, 3 times, I am. Now notice what they did. Then they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So he scooted out of there pretty quick. Why did they want to kill him? What was it that the Jews said that Jesus was worthy of death? And to this very day, the Jews hold that against Jesus. They said he blasphemed because he said God was his Father, and that he was the Son of God. And those Jews there at that time knew what the word ego eme meant, because he said, I am, before Abraham was, I am. Okay, now let's go to chapter 10. Okay, John 10. John 10. Let's just pick it up in verse 1. John 10 and verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Now, it's amazing how many people, you know, don't even know that that verse is in the Bible, because they just want to do things their way. We're going to see a little later on, Jesus said he was the way. But he's saying here, anyone that comes up any other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And to him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and his sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but he will flee from him. Isn't that true? You start hearing some strange things, and what do? You just scoot out of the way, don't you? Get out of the way. For they know not the voice of strangers. And this parable Jesus spoke to them, and they didn't understand what things they were which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them, "Verily, verily, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." Verse 7. And that is ego eme. "Verily, verily, I say to you, I am ego eme, the door of the sheep." Okay, we're the sheep. "And all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers." In relationship to what? Now, this is very interesting because when you remember the counterfeiting of the pagan religions that Satan did, where one of the symbols of Apollo was that he had a sheep on his shoulder and he was the shepherd. So when he says, "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers," but the sheep did not hear them. Verse 9, "I am the door." So he's the door of the sheep. He is the door. So we have, if you're numbering these, I have number 4, he bears witness. Number 5, he's from above. Number 6, not of this world. Number 7, and there are 3 of those, "I am." In chapter 8, and then number 8, he is the door of the sheep, and of course number the next one there, "I am the door of the sheep," or "I am the door," fits into the same one. Then we come to the next one here in just a minute. Let's read right on through chapter 9. Chapter 9 is the chapter 10 and verse 9, "I am the door." This is the second one where he said, "I am the door. If by me any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture." That's why we have to continually come back to Christ in everything we do, in our daily lives, in our relationship with one another. "The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." And that's why we're the battered and beaten group. We're the little sheep over here in the corner, and we're licking our wounds, and Christ is healing us. That's basically what it amounts to. "I am come," notice here verse 10, where he says, "I am come," and here you see, if you follow along in your Greek interlinear, you have ego without eme. "I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly." Now verse 11, the next one, which is number 9 of the I am's, "I am the good shepherd." Ego eme. "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, and he sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and cares not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd." There it is again. I am. Ego eme. Ego eme. "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of my own." All right, now let's go to chapter 11. Chapter 11, which then is the 10th I am in relationship to Christ. And John 11 is the account. John 11 is the account of the resurrection of Lazarus. And of course you can go through the whole thing, but we'll just focus in on verse 25. When Martha said, "Well, I know he'll rise again, the resurrection at the last day," verse 25, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection." John 11, verse 25, where he said, "I am the resurrection." It is ego eme. Hey, Anastasius. Anastasis. Yes. He anastasis is the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. And the I am is understood to apply also to the life. I am the resurrection. I am the life. Okay, that's why that reverts back to John 5, where he said that, you know, all will hear my voice. All will be resurrected because of Christ. Now, let's go to John 14. John 14. John 14 and verse 6. John 13. There we go, John 14 and verse 6. So Jesus said to him, I am the way. Now this is a very interesting statement here. Ego eimi he hodos. And that's similar to the Exodus, the way out, okay? I am the way. And the truth, and the life. So we can put there the way is number 11, the truth is number 12, and the life is number 13. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Very profound. And in that one simple statement, that one simple statement of Jesus tells you how to have eternal life. Must be through him. And no man comes unto the Father but by me. So it's very interesting. Next time that you hear someone say, well, all these other religions are worshiping God, but they're all going to get there the same, whatever way they're going to go. The Buddhists do it one way, and the Christians do it another way, and the Mohammedans do it another way. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father but through me. Hey? That's a very dogmatic statement. And especially when you think of that after he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. That is just, what you would call a heavyweight statement. That's right. That's right. It just, right. Yes. This is why I've said that the book of John, now I'll probably give several sermons as we go along here, but the book of John is just a fantastic book. There are so many things in it, and there are so many tremendous things in the book of John, and yet it is one of the most misunderstood by those who profess Christianity. Well, to take a verse here and to take a verse there. When you put it all together, and the thing I like about the book of John is the reproving. You start out with a basic truth, and then you move to the next one, and you move to the next one, and you come right back where you began. Remember how I started out? The Word, the truth, to sanctify them through your Word is truth, and Christ is the Word. And there you go, each one of these, right around. It just really fantastic how it all fits together. And just like we found in the epistle of 1 John, it just all really fit together in a real beautiful package. So the gospel, I am the true vine, ego eimi, verse 1. First two words in chapter 1 of John 15, ego eimi. There it is in my old interlinear that was stolen from me. I had all of this all marked up, so I'm getting this marked up as I go along in this one too. Ego eimi. I am the true vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me not bearing fruit, he takes away. And every one that bears fruit. Now notice how very quickly every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. Then it shifts every one, not necessarily just every branch, But every one, it personifies that person. Instead of a branch, it is every one. Every one that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. There again, you can tie that in with all of those that have to do with Christ as the word. Sanctify them with the word. We are clean through the word which he has spoken. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine. Verse 5, ego eimi. I am the vine. Very dogmatic statements as we go through. And he that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And if a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, there's the key of the relationship with Christ, right there. There is the key. The words of Christ abide in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So there's some tremendous blessings and statements that Christ has given. Now, let's go on to chapter 17. Chapter 17. All right, let's mark this down. Chapter 15, I am the true vine. That's number 14. That's the 14th I am. If anyone wants to see my notes, or I have them marked, if you want to get the number sequence, I'll have it here. Okay, chapter 17 and verse 14. Chapter 17 and verse 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Chapter 17 and verse 14, which then is ego uk ime. I am not of the world, or I did not originate from the world. Now remember what we learned last time about the little Greek word ek. Okay? Let's analyze verse 14 for a minute. Let's begin with the first part of it. Notice it starts out with ego, I have given them your word. So ime is not used there. It's not needed because you have the other verb, which is to give them your word. The world has hated them because they are not of the world. Now, of, notice the little word ek. In other words, they being Christians is not a part of the function of the world, but a function of God. A function of God the Father. How we have been begotten, ek, of the Father. Okay, we are not of the world, ek of the world. Okay, now notice what he says. As I am not of the world. Notice the parallel there. He did not originate of the world. Who is of the world? Satan. That's correct. Satan is of the world. In other words, in order for Christ to be the Messiah, he can have absolutely nothing to do with any agreement of anything that Satan has. Because then he would be of the world. So we are not of the world. Christ is not of the world. Okay, 15, not of the world. Now let's go to the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation, chapter 1. And I recall now when Esther asked me about bringing this sermon, is when we were going through the book of Revelation and we were covering some of these things right here in the book of Revelation. Chapter 1 and verse 8. Chapter 1 and verse 8, where Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Now this one you all ought to be able to say and follow along ego ime ta alpha chi ta omega. Which is really a tremendous statement. I am the beginning, alpha and omega, the beginning and the ending. And as we saw in our series, that is a tremendous statement because Jesus is starting out the book of Revelation, which what? Ends the Bible, and he's referring back to the beginning of the creation and how we saw that there are many threads all coming through the Bible to the book of Revelation, from the beginning to the ending. So he's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and ending. So that would be number 16. Now let's go to chapter 1 and verse 17. Chapter 1 and verse 17, where he says, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I am ego ime, the first and the last. Ego ime, ho protos kai ho exotos." Remember the first time I took my Greek class from Dr. Dorothy, and he always liked to do something which was very interesting. He'd come in and he'd write a verse. He would write a verse in Greek on the board, and then on the blackboard, and then he would tell us to try and figure it out. And when we were first learning, that was so hard. So that's why I'm throwing a little bit of this pronunciation in. We won't do it very much, but we'll do it just enough to keep your interest in it. How many have found that studying in the interlinear has helped them? Chapter 2 and verse 23, and this has to do with our relationship with Christ. So whenever you feel down or whenever you feel that things aren't going exactly the way you would like, remember that Christ looks to the heart. And he is the one who is, as it says right here in verse 23, he says, I am, I'll just break into the middle of the sentence, ego ime, I am the one who is searching the hearts and reins, or searching the reins and hearts. God knows our thoughts. And so when there is that repentance, when there is sin, when there is a drawing close to God, and you know when you do, and it's almost like Christ is taking the reins and pulling us a little closer to him. He is the one who searches the reins and the hearts. Now, the reins have to do with the direction we are going. You know, just like the reins on the bridle for a horse. And it has to do that. Not that we should liken ourselves to just robots with bits in our mouths and reins on us, because Christ doesn't want us that way. There's one of the Proverbs, you know, don't be like horses with bits in their mouths. You know, we're to have the free will and volition and love of God to carry us forward. Okay, that's number 18. Number 19 is a repeat of 16, which is, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. So let's go right to Revelation 21 and verse 6. Revelation 21 and verse 6. Where he just repeats it again, how he's beginning to end the book now. He started out, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, right there in chapter 1, down chapter 21. And in verse 6, he says the same thing. And he said to me, it is done. I am, there it is, ego ime. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give to him that thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Okay. Let's go to chapter 22 and verse 13. Where he says it again. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. There it is, ego e me again. And verse 16 then is the last one. Verse 16 of chapter 22, where Jesus, I, Jesus, sent my angel to testify to these things in the churches. I am, ego e me, I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Root and the offspring of David. Now, just for the sake of keeping our numbers straight on the different ego e me's that we have describing Christ, and remember that this has to do in an emphatic way saying who Christ is. Number one, it means I am, as in the Old Testament where he said, I am that I am. Number two, the bread of life. Number two, the bread of life. Number three, the light of the world. Number three, the light of the world. Number four, bears witness. The one who bears witness. Number four. Number five, from above. Number five, from above. Number six, not of this world. Number seven, I am again. We can just put that there. We can have it in as first and seventh because he uses it so many times. Okay, number eight, the door of the sheep. Number eight, the door of the sheep. Number nine, the good shepherd. The good shepherd. Number 10, the resurrection. Number 10, the resurrection. Number 11, the way. Number 12, the truth. Number 13, the life. Number 13, the life. Number 14, the true vine. And that had number 15, not of this world, again, because he repeats it several times. So we have two repeats in there. Number 15, not of the world, not of world. Okay. Number 16, Alpha and Omega. And then we'll have to make number 17 beginning and end. 17 beginning and end. Number 18, the first and the last. Number 18, the first and the last. Number 19, searches the hearts. Number 19, searches the hearts. And then number 20, the root and offspring of David. The root and offspring of David. And of course, keep in mind the pattern of the book of John. How it was laid out, Passover, fall festival season, Passover, fall festival season, and then his last Passover. So I hope that this has been helpful and informative for you. And I hope more importantly, that it will help you draw closer to Christ. It will help you appreciate and understand more about him as our Savior, as the Son of God, and the one that we look to bring the kingdom of God to this earth.